time is.
It's Pastor Adam's podcast.
Hello, everybody. Glad you all could join me today, whatever day this may be that you're tuning in. It's Wednesday for me, Wednesday morning. You know how we do it. This is how we roll. We're in March, you know. No, I hope it's not a surprise to anybody. But I have to be honest with you. March, not my favorite month. I won't go as far as to say I hate it or anything like that. It's just got a lot of annoying aspects about it that kind of get under my skin. Now you may be wondering, what are these things? And I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to share it with you. I know you're probably on the edge of your seat right now. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you what makes March annoying. Number one, the pollen. Now we're here in South Carolina. You may be listening somewhere else. There's no pollen all over, but here pollen is covering everything. I'm talking about everything. Thick pollen you can see. I didn't experience this till moving to South Carolina. In Illinois, sure, there's pollen in the air. You know, you might have some allergies. You don't see streams of pollen when it rains. It's crazy, right? Luckily for me this year, about a week and a half, 2 weeks before, week and a half, 2 weeks ago from today, I ordered a cover for my smoker. And I got it literally the day before the yellow pollen cloud ascended upon us. Unfortunately, I have a prep station that I have next to my smoker that does not have a cover, which still got covered with pollen. So now when I go to smoke something, use the grill, whatever, it's still got to clean all the pollen. It's a pain. And also, staying on the pollen, let's talk about my car. If you're listening to me quite a bit, you know I have a convertible. I love to take the top down. It's one of my favorite things in life is to just drive around with the top down. Just, I don't know what it is about it. It's freeing. It just makes me feel good inside. And the way you can drive the car in pollen season is by constant movement. So as long as you're moving, you're good. So when I stop, like when I park or something like that, top goes up, windows up immediately. Well, the other day, driving, top down, pull into the garage, immediately hit the garage door so I don't have to put the top up. You know, I can close the garage door. We're keeping the pollen out. Well, my daughter came home a little bit later, opened the garage door, never closed it. So it was open for a long time. So I go back out. My black leather interior is now greenish because the yellow and the black, mine is, it just looks green. So I'm like, so the whole next day I'm cleaning out the inside of my car, but I'm doing it outside, and then more pollen is falling. It's kind of like I was mopping up my driveway, my flooded driveway, while it's raining. It's crazy. So when the pollen season cools, it stops, then I can really do a deep dive into the car. And then also lastly with the pollen, you know, you have the usual things that irritate you, which you'd probably be more, you know, understand more, which, you know, is the sneezing and giving me the old itchy eyes. Luckily, I don't look like I've been trying to claw my eyes out, whatever. But the pollen is just one annoying thing in March. Another is the sports. That's my number two reason is what makes it annoying. And you might be like, sports? What are you talking about? You love sports. Sure, I do. I like sports. I like it a lot. And here's one that it's going to be coming out of left field for you. I don't care for NFL free agency. Sure, it's fun for a couple days, you know, if you're into NFL, which I am. But then for weeks upon weeks in March, the media zeroes in on one or two stories that they just talk about every single day, making you want to slam your head into a wall. This year, it's about Aaron Rodgers, the Steelers, Russell Wilson, that whole love triangle. Where's Aaron Rodgers going to go? And every single day, they have the same guests come on to each show. We're talking, you know, like Unsportsmanlike, First Things First, Get Up, First Take, all these shows. And they ask the same question. Where do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to go? Why hasn't he signed now? What are the Steelers going to do? It's the same questions they ask to the same people, and you get the same answers. It's like, didn't we already go over this all week last week? Yeah, but he didn't sign, so we got to talk about. No, we don't. We just have to wait for him to sign, and then maybe we could talk about it for 5 minutes. It's crazy. And also, we're talking about some quarterbacks that are washed that aren't even any good anymore, and we're still just talking about them nonstop. It's like, I'm just over it. There's more things to talk about in sports. Yeah, I understand NFL free agency is a big deal, should be talked about. But the NBA is coming into its final stretch. They do give the NBA a pretty good amount of time. NBA kind of lost its luster to me. But okay, I get it. You could talk about it. But guess what? Baseball is also about to start. As a matter of fact, the Cubs and the Dodgers started a series yesterday. They played yesterday and today. Cubs lost both of them. But they count as regular season. It's no surprise the Cubs lost because the Dodgers are just, they bought an all-star team. They've been doing it for a while, and they spend all the money. They get all the good free agents. I think that the all-star game this year for the National League is just going to be the Dodgers. This is what it's going to be. And they defer all their money so they can do it every year. I don't get it. It's bad for baseball, my opinion. Hot take. There you go. But we could talk about a little baseball, can't we? By the way, that series that started with the Cubs and Dodgers, it's in Tokyo. Yeah, how did that come to be? I don't know. We don't know because no one wants to talk about it. Now, I'll have to say baseball isn't helping itself by having a Tokyo series 2 weeks before the rest of the teams open their season. And strangely enough, there's still going to be spring training games still happening after the Tokyo. I don't know. I don't get it. Apparently, ESPN, Fox Sports, all the major media outlets, baseball isn't newsworthy. So we won't know the reason why. And in March is when opening season is happening, which is usually April. But you'd be hard-pressed to get any kind of baseball talk in March, let alone any other month, if we're being honest with ourselves. And you may wonder, here's why. I hear people like Stephen A. Smith, Colin Cowherd, Shannon Sharp, Mike Greenberg. They all say that they only talk NFL and NBA because those are the most popular. But I say, well, if you start talking about Major League Baseball, you know, on a big-time morning sports show, popularity will increase. People will be more interested. They did talk a tiny bit last year during the World Series because it was Yankees and Dodgers. But that's just because it was the Yankees and Dodgers, you know, the two teams that, you know, spend the most money, that buy all the best players. And so whatever. But people would be interested if maybe there was an outlet for it. But on a quick side note, I got a text late last night from my friend Ron, who trolls me on a regular basis on all things Cowboys and Cubs. He's a dirty White Sox fan. And if you listen to this, I troll him as much as he does me, probably. But he sent me an Instagram reel last night with the guy pointing out the fact that the White Sox have zero nationally televised games this year. and I just responded with, "Are you trying to beat me to the punch?" And he didn't reply at all. It's good stuff, though. It's got to be rough to be a Sox fan, I got to say. Back to March. We're not done with why March annoys me. Still in the sports category, and the number three reason why I don't love March, which this is going to be a reason why a lot of people would say that they do love March, and that is March Madness, the NCAA basketball tournament. I'm not interested in it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I don't think there's problems with it. I just don't care about it at all. I don't watch a single game throughout the year. Brackets mean nothing to me. I don't care who wins, loses, who's in, who's out, who's on the bubble, nothing. So the NCAA tournament just annoys me because the sports shows now that I watch in the morning, that's all they're going to talk about. They just focus on that. And I'm just like, I just have to find something entirely different to watch in the morning for the next few weeks. And for lunch, you know, whatever. So, like I said, there's a lot of people who love the NCAA tournament. I'm just not one of them. And so, like, it just consumes the month from my usual routine of watching sports shows. That's all. So what does all this have to do with my devotional today? It has nothing to do with it. God doesn't dislike certain months. He isn't bothered by pollen. He doesn't care about what topics sports media talks about. But I do, and I share, because this is my podcast devotional, and I'm the boss, and I do what I want, and I say what I want. Yeah, that's right. That's how it goes. So we're going to move on to the real part of the devotional. I want to talk about House of David, the prime show that I brought up last week. I like the show. And right on schedule, as I was perusing through YouTube yesterday, I saw a review of House of David by Todd Friel, who hosts a channel called Wretched, and it's kind of like sponsored by the Fortas Institute. And I was sure that this was going to be some Christian bashing the show House of David, just like Christians normally do when something new happens, a song goes mainstream, a show gets a lot of attention, a movie starts blowing up, something like that. It's just what Christians seem to do. We try to bash the other Christians do it. It's just kind of thing. So going in, I had a good idea what was going to be in store for me. This Todd Friel, I found out, is a pastor of a church as well as the TV host. So at least hopefully he knows what he's talking about. So when I watched this video, which was about 8.5 minutes, 9, something like that, I was sort of, it turned me from being initially a defender of the show to, I guess, kind of being on his side. But that doesn't mean I don't like House of David, but it makes me ask myself questions. And I'll actually add the link of the YouTube video for you to check out for yourself. And it's a good watch. He spoke about the show with, you know, scriptural facts, backed it up, everything he said with scripture, and also applied a lot of common sense to it. And here's the main issue. There's a lot of House of David that is, I guess you could purely fictional. At the beginning of each episode, there's sort of like a disclaimer saying, hey, we use some creative license with the story. And while I watch the series, you know, being familiar with David's story, it's pretty easy for me to know what's actually written about in the Bible and what was, you know, made up for the sake of the episode. Now, for me, that doesn't bother me. It doesn't distract me from who David is, what he did, what it means to us within God's word. But there are things that, to me, don't make the story better with their creative license. David, in this prime series, is portrayed as rebellious, and it's implied that he's an illegitimate son, and that he had all these desires and things about him that we don't know are true, right? And I don't think that we need to have that put into our mind. Like, I don't think that that's beneficial to the story. The pastor in the video claimed that these are things we don't know because God didn't want us to know them. Why are we adding to God's word? Is God's word not perfect as it is? Which I would agree, it is perfect. It is God's word. And like I said yesterday, there's nothing better ever written than God's word. But I want to play the first part of this video for you, because going in to watching this, you know, with my preconceived notion that he was going to bash House of David, which he does, but he immediately kind of disarmed me with this illustration. So let me play this for you real quick.
Inviting you to imagine yourself in this scenario. You want your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids to know you, so you write a book so that they can remember you and understand you and even love you long after you've left the planet, and you wrote down exactly what you wanted them to know. No more. No less. Now imagine I come along and I've observed your grandkids and they don't seem to be all that interested in your book. So I conclude, hey, I'm going to embellish it. I'm going to add some things that I think would make your book interesting. I mean, after all, I can justify it by saying that this is for your benefit. I'm going to take your work because I think it's deficient to make it better so that you can be loved. I wonder how you'd react to that. How would you respond to my gumption, my presumption in thinking that your work is insufficient and it needs my help?
It's kind of hard to argue with that, I feel like. So I'm on the side of, you know, I'm on his side, but also I'm sort of not there 100%. And here's why. I said last week that I wrote a song on Deuteronomy 32, which I did. And I like to use actual scripture in songs when possible because, like I said, I will never create any words better than God gave us. But at the same time, I do have to add this and that to make it a song. I have to add words, maybe that rhyme, that go add a word here or there for the pacing to be right. I have to maybe add some personal context. So am I using that same creative license? Maybe. Applying that sort of thinking from scripture to a song, does that work in turning a story to a movie or a story to a TV show? Is that the same? Same as like a song? Probably. Does it make it right? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. On one hand, I can agree with him that God's word is perfect and it does not need to be embellished. I can 100% agree with that. But on the other hand, if I want to make a TV series and only use scripture as the basis without any creative embellishment, it might be pretty hard to make that TV show because the scripture that we're giving isn't written as a TV show. You know what I'm saying? Does that mean we should not use scripture as the basis of any movies or TV shows or any songs? I don't think that's the answer either. Some would say, like me actually, that this type of show could bring people who haven't read the Bible or don't know the stories, you know, they don't know the story of David, to a place where they might want to investigate what the Bible says. And maybe that will lead them to a relationship with Jesus. And I think that we can all agree, even this pastor that gave us, that God can use anything, anyone, to bring people into a relationship with him. But I also see this pastor's point as to think, even if people have a vague recollection of the story of David, they're most likely not going to open the Bible and read the stories themselves to see if what's real or what's fictional. Now the fictional stuff in the series for me so far hasn't been anything where I would consider it heresy. I don't think someone would see the show and have a different opinion of David as they would if they read the Bible, you know, as the Christians reading the Bible. In the video, I watched the pastor TV host admit that he only watched 2 episodes, which was apparently enough for him. But he had a really hard time because he didn't feel David was being portrayed as a man after God's heart. But watching all the episodes so far, for me, you know, I think there is 5 out as of today, the 6th coming tomorrow. Maybe there's 6. I don't remember. But I absolutely see David as the man after God's heart. So personally, I think as long as these creative embellishments, these additional stories or the filling in of the gaps doesn't, as long as they don't change the character or the biblical facts of the story, then I'm okay with it. I think it could still be a good thing. I would like to think that this series, as well as, you know, the Chosen series, is more of an instrument to get more people interested in God. You know, Jesus, interested in Jesus, interested in reading the Bible, rather than, you know, a tool of, you know, pushing people away and getting them less interested. I don't think that's possible. I still think it can be good to bring people closer to him. And so, for instance, just like one argument that this pastor made was that there's a whole big chunk of the story on David's mother. And we find out that she was, you know, this kind person, that she was killed by a lion. And none of that is ever in the Bible. But that doesn't change anything about David. You know, it's just like, okay, it's just filler. It's filler. We don't know anything about her. They made it all up. Is that going to hurt somebody who's never read the Bible? No, but maybe if they did read the Bible, they'd be like, hey, there's nothing said here about David's mother. Then we can have another conversation. I don't know. I choose to be positive, and I pray that these sort of things add to the kingdom of God. But I'm interested to hear what you guys think about it. I'm all ears, so leave a comment or whatever. Hit me up on one of the social media outlets that I'm on. So, yeah, different one for today. Complain about March and then talk about House David. You never know what I'm going to say. You never know what's going to happen here. But hope that this was good enough for you. I don't know, man. So I guess I'll see you next Wednesday.